a very warm good morning to you. Actually, bizarrely, it's warm. Yeah, I'm clearly going to give up weather forecasting. Although, as with last week's show, this week's show also comes with a warning that snow is forecast in the Fens. So, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. It's before 8 o'clock in the morning in the team car, and it is a spring-like 9 degrees. So much so I've had to take my bobble hat off, and that doesn't happen too often. A balmy spring-like 9 degrees, and yeah, actually, the sun looks like it's poking through. So, welcome to the 44th podcast. We'll be getting on for that year anniversary fairly soon. It'll be at week 49, because we've had 3 weeks off, I know, remiss. And this week's show, there's actually some bike racing to talk about, which is nice, because it feels like an age since the season ended. Before we get on to the European road season, as promised, a bit of a roundup of the cyclocross, and it was the national championships at the weekend. And no surprise, really, in two or three of the ones that might be relevant to us. The British champion for the fifth time is Ian Field, Hargreaves Cycles, and, you know, fair play to the guy, because whenever you watch the big European races with the Matthew van der Poels and the Lars van der Haars and Wout van Aerts and all of those kind of guys, Stibar, you always see Ian Field battling, you know, to keep amongst them and keep part of that. So, you know, fair play to the lad. He deserves to be national champion. And also, you know, he deserves a bit more of a break maybe in some of the continental races. And we hope that is coming for him, because, you know, a top 10, something like that would be really good reward for, you know, the effort he's put in and the fact that he's stuck with the cyclocross. It's actually starting to boom a little bit all over. So I think we get... It won't be long before he has a bit of competition and maybe, you know... His time has come too soon for him, really. If he was 4 or 5 years younger, he might be able to ride the crest of the boom that's coming. Because you look at a lot of local clubs, there's a lot of kids riding a lot of cross. St Ives especially, reading the Hunts Post. I do research for this show, believe it or not. Reading the Hunts Post recently, they've got a lot of people having a lot of success, many of whom are under the age of sort of 13, 14. So fantastic, as there's 40-somethings hurtle towards... cycling oblivion, the younger kids have definitely got their you know, hitting their straps early, and it's only going to help them with bike handling. It's only going to help them with stamina and endurance. And, you know, I'm almost starting to think, is a winter of cyclocross racing better than a winter of drills and drudgery on a turbo or, you know, out on the road? So interesting, we'll see. We might have a new plan next winter, you never know. In England then, or Britain, Ian Field. No surprise in the big two. In Holland, Matthew van der Poel. A guy who kind of jumps his cyclocross bike as if it's like a mountain bike. He's an amazing sort of jump with a... And he can throw a little tail whip in as well. It's like being at Nitro Circus. Fantastic rider, fantastic... And to be fair, he didn't have a lot of competition in there. There are a few Dutch crossers, but, you know, he was always, if he was on point and on form, he was always going to be the Dutch champion. And he was. So fair play to him. Elsewhere in Europe, there was the worry of the Belgian championship course. And the reason why people were worried about the Belgian championship course was that the iconic Kirkcyder cross was cancelled due to high winds and storms this year. That's the one that runs... kind of almost sort of parallel to the North Sea with a little bit of the beach. Sounds glamorous. No wonder they get beard up for that, because I bet it's freezing to watch. And the Belgian National Championships this year were held at Ostend, which many British holiday makers will know as a gateway into that part of Europe, gateway to Holland and the Ardennes and something even into Germany. And they had a massive bridge that they'd built to cross the kind of the esplanade from the beach back on. It was huge, massive, steep old thing. And I think everyone was hoping that the weather didn't play a part, and it didn't. Wout van Aert versus Lars van der Haar. Van der Haar's had a quite a slow start. Friend of the podcast, Lauren Sveck, was in the mix as well for a medal. But yeah, it was a pretty easy win in the end for Van Aert. So well done to him, and obviously setting things up nicely for the upcoming World Cyclocross Championships, which will be epic. I remember watching a couple of years ago the one in the Czech Republic that was in snow. That was a pretty good race. Last year's was not quite as exciting. If I remember, the weather was a bit milder. So look out for that coming up. So off the cross and onto the road. And amazingly, the World Tour road season starts in the next couple of days with the Tour Down Under in Australia. Good chance to see all of the new kits. Good chance to catch up with riders who've had transfers to new teams. And a race that traditionally has two or three decent sprint stages, and also a couple of things for the Tour contenders. It's going to be, I think, difficult to see anyone other than Richie Porte if he arrives in a reasonable level of both mind and body, winning the overall. And unfortunately, I can't see a great amount other than an Aussie, almost whitewash, really. I think the sprint stages will be won by Caleb Ewan. In terms of any stages, and there are a couple of stages where there are, because they use pretty much the same roads each year, there's a couple of stages that do favour the Baradeur type rider, and I think we'll have some good stages there. Maybe even someone like Scott Thwaites of Bora, a Brit. He's usually in form at this time of year. He's a man who's shown well in the classics last year, not necessarily in the top classics, you know, your Roubaix and your Flanders, but in the level below, your Harold Becker's and Kern Brussels, those kind of classics. Then he is the man, in my opinion. So some people to keep an eye on. The race, I believe it's on Sky Sports, so if you've got a Sky box, get that set on series record, and we'll see. It'll be nice to look at the glamorous, warm, sunny weathers of Australia, while maybe the snow, definitely the frost, and definitely the wind beats off the windows of our house, and you know, off our bodies as we're out on our bikes. And it's been a funny start to January, really, in a cycling term. You know, it's been one of those weeks where everything seems to, you know, my power meter's packed up. You know, building my time trial bike has proved to be a bit more challenging than first anticipated, and it's just like, oh, I need a bit of motivation. And I'm hoping it could go one of two ways. I could be sat on the sofa watching the pros in Australia in the baking hot heat and think, yeah, it's not too long now, just hang in there for a few months. Or I could look at it and think, what am I doing wasting my time in the freezing cold? And maybe decide to retire permanently to the sofa for a few months before it warms up. I hope that's not the case, because there's a lot of pretty decent racing, certainly locally, that's starting to filter its way onto the calendar. There's a couple of decent 10-mile time trials from Sawtrey to Stilton that are always well attended, and always well spectated. There's always quite a few fans out watching. Couple of those in mid-April and in early May that I'll be looking forward to hopefully participating in, if I'm one of the fastest 120 entrants. And nice to get out. It'd be good to get a few people out on the side of the road and get some spectacular atmosphere going. It's always nice to when you're riding one of these events and your head's down, you're in the zone, you're focused on your speed, your cadence, and everything else. Believe it or not, there are times when you can hear the crowd, the people sort of standing out, and I always do try and keep a little beady eye out for my kids, because they're always excited to see a little wave. So yeah, we've got some international racing. We've got a bit of local racing coming up, not until kind of next month, really, does a lot of the season start, but we'll bring you all of that, of course, as you would expect. And yeah, it's good to be back in the regular podcast groove. So next week, a little bit on where the Tour Down Under's got to at that point. Thanks for listening. Please do share on the Twitter, Facebook, all of those kind of things. And speak to you next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.